I am so excited about today's show. I think you all know that I get to sit down and talk with some really just interesting people who have accomplished so many incredible and inspiring things. And today's guest is certainly no exception, but this person is also someone who I truly deeply love and admire because she is just pure love and light. And that is Miss Lori Crouch. Lori, thank you so much for joining me.
I love you, Nona. What an honor. This is just great. Now I get to sit on the other end of the camera.
Well, I was just thinking that. I was like, as many times as I've been on Better Together, and you have been the like host of this wonderful gathering, now you're the guest. So,
yay! Well, like I said, good luck, honey.
This is going to be good. This is going to be good. Well, I think people know you because of TBN. They know you because you're like kind of the face of TBN, you and your husband. But I want to take a step back because I think sometimes people walk into the successful chapter that a person's life is on and they just assume that's the whole story. And I don't believe that to be the case. So I'd love it if you could just take us back to where you grew up. Tell us about your childhood, and even how did you come into faith in Jesus?
Oh, wow. Okay. Starting from the beginning. Well, I'm a PK. My parents pastored most of my life in Tucson, Arizona. So I was born and raised in Arizona. And I've known Jesus all my life. You know, I can't give you a time or a date that I asked him into my heart, because I just really don't remember. And so I grew up loving Jesus from the time I was little, and just have tried to serve all my life for him, you know. And well, I think one of my biggest prayers were to God, don't ever let me embarrass you, you know. And so I met my husband. I met his mother in an elevator in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she said, I'd like for you to meet my son. Can I ask you how old you are? And I said, oh my goodness. Because my grandmother had prayed that I would meet Paul and Jen Crouch's son. She watched TBN every night there in Phoenix, Arizona, and watched the Praise program and loved it when Paul and Jen hosted. And one night I was 19 years old visiting with them. And she said, I'm praying that you meet their son. And I just thought, well, that's pretty crazy that you just said that. And then I met Jan in an elevator in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she said the same thing to me. And got married. That was 35 years ago, last week.
Wait.
That was actually 37 years ago. We've been married for 35 years.
You don't look a day over 32. How in the world have you married 35 years together 37? How is that possible?
You know, it goes fast, Nona. You'll look up one day, you've been married 35 years, and you'll go, where did that go?
So I would love to talk a little bit about a story that you once told me, because like I said, I think people, they just assume that everything you have, you've always had, and you've never experienced struggle. But you mentioned one time about when your husband wanted to purchase a building. You both wanted to purchase a building, and you scraped together everything you had in order to do it. And it didn't quite seem like it was working out. Can you please share that story with us?
Sure. So we had worked at TBN I started in 1985 when we got married. And my husband was kind of the heir apparent. And in 1992, it was like the Lord just reached down his hand and pulled us out. And I know that God never has grandchildren. So we all have to learn to walk by faith. Every generation has to learn that. And it was our moment in time to learn how to do that for ourselves, because it was like we had all the authority, but no responsibility. And so we moved up to Los Angeles and started trying to get Christian films made. And so we bloodied our nose on every door in Hollywood and trying to kind of raise money one dinner at a time, you know, and just sharing the vision. And we had moved up there. And my husband had a dream that his grandfather with he woke up and he says, it feels like I've been with my grandfather all night. And he said, I asked my grandfather, where are we going to move? And he said, across from the Hanna-Barbera building. And so we moved right across from the Hanna-Barbera building, and we could see it from the house. We lived in the Hollywood Hills, had two little boys, 2 and 5 years old. And I'll never forget, you know, doing the films and releasing a film and then doing another film and releasing the film and raising money for another. And it was just hard, but we felt like that's what we were supposed to do. And we just had to believe God and just trust that he had called us there, you know. And then you'd see those mile markers in the road and you'd say, okay, I'm on the right path. And I remember one day we had this building and I was looking down on this building and I thought, God, I know you spoke to us. I know we're where you're at, where we're supposed to be. But I said, man, if you could just keep us from struggling so hard. And I remember that morning I had given Matt all my jewelry. We had sold one of our cars for some cash just to pay our staff. And, you know, we were just doing everything we could do. And I felt that was out of a sincere heart, that God, if you would just keep us from struggling. And I said out of my mouth, I said, God, just look at everything that we could be doing for you. And before I got those words out of my mouth, it was like God hit me upside the head with the most loving 2x4. And he said, baby, don't you ever think that it's anything that you do for me, but it's what I've done in you and what I can do on the inside of you. And that changed my life. That changed my life from always struggling to do and letting God be and resting in the fact that if I made and believed and I trusted in God, that he was going to take care of the rest. And that just changed my life. It wasn't anything that I could do or struggle to do for the Lord, but what he could do on the inside of me too. Because I think if you're right with the Lord, and I think that if you're trusting and believing and resting in him, that you automatically do your destiny and you fulfill your purpose through that. So yeah, we have... you know what we've just gone through in the last couple of days, even with Miranda, and I'll just share her story for a minute. My assistant was pregnant and her baby went to heaven yesterday. And we've just been talking, you know, you would never ask for those seasons of your life, but it's in those seasons, Nona, that God makes himself so real and so precious. And those are the times, those are the treasured moments. And it comes through normally suffering and pain in areas of your life that you would have never asked for, but God is so, so there. And that's when we see God for ourselves.
You know, I think the hardest thing for most people to do, especially when we're in the midst of suffering, is to trust God. Because our first inclination, I think you articulated it, is to ask, like, why? You know,
sure,
not struggle so much. You know, we were talking earlier before we even started broadcasting about how, you know, we've both experienced the loss of babies, and that is absolutely devastating. I think what you said really helps to remind us that God is for us, even in hardship, even in tragedy. God is still for us. I would love if you could share too your story about how, and some people may not even know this, but in terms of your hearing loss and what happened there, because people, you know, they look at you and they're like, she's gorgeous, she's beautiful, she's perfect, she's successful, she's this, and they may have no idea of what you live with every day. So would you be willing to share that also?
That I can't hear squat. Yeah, so I have one little ear pod in here, And what's funny about this is I can't really hear myself talking. So I just hear my internal because I'm completely deaf on my left side. So we were traveling. We were on an airplane, which they say is just random. And I remember I was with my father-in-law and my husband. We were traveling from overseas, landing in Washington, D.C. at Reagan Airport. And I had made a pallet on the floor that night, sleeping, wanting to sleep, and my ear was just getting plugged up, and I was doing everything I needed to do. And come to find out, the nerves inside of my ear had exploded. They said it either exploded or imploded, and thought maybe there was a little tumor in there, and they wanted to do an MRI. And I looked at Matt and I said, I do not want to know if I have a tumor in my head. If I die, I die, but I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm not doing that. So yeah, so it feels like I have a, it sounds like I have like a Mack truck inside of my head, and that I hear out of this little pinhole over here. I think in those moments, because I was raised in the Word of Faith. So believing and trusting God for either you know, that you're carrying and raise, you know, miracles happen. And God is in full control of all that. And I think just relying and trusting in Him. So I think probably one of the hardest things is when you pray and ask and really truly feel like you believe God for something and it doesn't happen. You know, there have been times that I have cried out before the Lord and I've just said, God, if that wasn't faith, then I don't know what faith is, you know, and that's the times that I sit down on the piano and I just start playing all by myself and I start pouring out of my heart of who God says He is. And in those moments and in those times of God, you are my healer, you are my provision, you are my joy, you are my peace, you are everything, you're my solid rock, you're my protector, you're my provider, and just start saying who God is. I think you give God incentive. I always think of if the Bible was being written today, you know, the little lady that touched God, reached out and touched Jesus's hem. And Jesus turned around and He said, who touched me? I think if the Bible could be written today, I want to be that little woman. I want God to go, whoa, you know, Jesus to say, whoa, who touched me? There is someone full of faith down there that is willing to reach out and just declare and just say, man, if I can just touch Him, I know that I'll be made whole. And those times of trust, no matter whether you see what you've prayed for, or what you have believed for, maybe it doesn't come the way you think it is, but God always uses everything for our good. And that's just a testimony. Now today I finally told God, I said, you know what? I said, God, I said, if you have chosen, and a lot of people might not, I don't say this publicly, so nobody's watching, right?
Nope, not right now.
You know, I finally just said to the Lord, I said, you know what? I believe you can heal that ear whenever you choose, whatever you choose for me. But if I don't ever hear what man has to say or what this world has to say in that ear, let it be filled with your voice. And so that's just the way I believe today. So I want to hear God in that deaf ear.
You know what? It's incredible to me as I listen to you. And that story is so powerful to me, Lori, how it seems like people who say, God, I want more faith. I want more faith. We assume that that's going to come by some sort of like divine osmosis. Like, you know, yeah. God's going to just sprinkle us with faith, right? But really, faith is, it's an outgrowth of pain and of tribulation and of trials. And you really are the embodiment of that. I mean, I listen to you and it sounds like your faith has been strengthened after all you've been through.
Yeah. You know, everyone's dealt a measure of faith. And you know, we talk about the mustard seed. Well, you can't really see a mustard seed. But we all have it. And you just have to, I just believe God is calling on our faith. And I think that everything that we go through is a question to us. And God is saying, who do you say that I am today? So yesterday, he was my healer and he was my provider. Maybe in 2019, he was just great, you know, and he was everything. And we had everything. Well, now we've all hit 2020. And God is asking us a question. Who do you say that I am now? Am I the same that I was yesterday? And he is. And I think that when he is going to give us the opportunity, thank God, to use our faith to tell him who he says he is and to say, God, if I die, I die, but you are my healer. I will trust in you no matter what I see, no matter my circumstances, you are going to take care of me. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I just think that's the way you grow. That's the way you you see God. I love in Job where he says, you know, everything's just stripped from Job. I mean, it's just a horrible story. And then God returns double to him and everything. And he says, God, I had heard about you before. He says, but now I have seen you. And I don't know about you, Nona, I know you do too. I want to see God. Amen. I want to see God. And it's through trials and tribulations that we see God, I believe.
Yes, that is so true. I would love to switch gears slightly and talk about, you know, you live your life in the public eye, literally. Like you're not just someone that people know of. I mean, people see you in their living rooms, on their phones on a consistent basis. How do you manage really staying true to your identity when I think living such a public life, tends to lend itself to other people's assumptions of who you are and who you should be? How have you been able to be the Lori that you know you are?
Well, I think just being the same all the time takes the pressure off. You know, what you see is what you get. It's not that I'm any different when I walk away from this camera. And I think that's just, you know, so many people. That's one of the biggest compliments, let's say, that I can get is, man, you're the same as you are on television, as you are off screen. And that just takes the pressure off when you can just be the same person. It's very important to me. I think a lot of people watch you on TV. Maybe you're associated with other people that they dislike. And it's real important for me when I see somebody or meet someone that they meet me, you know, and I can be pretty judgmental about people. I've gotten better at that through the years, but I know that I've met so many people that I saw on TV and didn't have a good impression. And then when I met them, they were just the sweetest people in the whole world. And so, you know, I want everybody to see me as me. And so what you see is what you get. I don't know whether to apologize for that or not.
But I think you're right. I think that similarly, I've had people tell me that, like they say, you know, when I meet you, you're so like down to earth and you're just very like not stuffy. And even when I go and I preach places, people will say, oh, you want to wait in the green room? And I'm like, absolutely not. I want to go worship. That's why I'm here. And so they'll be like, really? And I'm like, yeah, I need Jesus as much as anybody else needs Jesus. Absolutely. Just because I'm delivering the message doesn't make me any different. How do you then deal with criticism? You know, people to your point, you know, they just make snap judgments and assumptions. Yeah. And how have you learned to not let criticism break your heart? Because you're human. People may not remember that all the time, but you're human.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a big growth for me. I grew up as the pastor's daughter. Everybody teased me because they thought Lori thinks everybody loves her, you know? And I remember when I got married and started being on TV, you know, nobody taught me how to do television. Nobody taught me how to sit or how to do my hair. I just, you know, we just did and still do television, no matter kind of what time it is or how you look or anything. And I remember getting just some ugly letters, you know, from girls or whoever, just ugly. And I just couldn't believe it. And I remember one of our dear friends that had been in television for a long time, he said, "Lori," he said, "baby," he said, "you know what the true meaning of spirituality is." And I said, "What?" And he said, "When you can get a letter from someone that thinks you set the moon in place," and he said, "and then when you can get another letter and they just call you the daughter of the devil and they both affect you the same way," he said, "that's what true spirituality is." And I've never forgotten that. So now, you know, it breaks my heart. It does. It hurts. I'm very, you know, I want people to like me, but you know, there's just some people that are, we say a third of the people will love you, a third of the people will hate you, and a third of the people don't care about you. So we just kind of live our life there. And then, you know what? We live for one, right?
Amen.
We live for God, and we just have to do what he's called us to do and just keep our boots on and our chin up. So,
you know, I think you're right. I was talking to a pastor friend actually just a few days ago, and he was saying how discouraged he was feeling because, you know, he hadn't been invited to speak at, you know, major conferences, and he hadn't been invited to speak at large churches, and he was questioning his calling. And my question to him was, I said, "Who are you preaching for?" Because if you're preaching for the people who come into the building, you will always question your calling, because some days they'll stand up and clap. Other days they'll look at you like you're not making sense. Some days they'll show up, other days they won't, you know. But to your point, if we're clear that everything we do is as unto the Lord, we have one person in the audience, I think you're right. It helps us to be very clear about our accountability.
Yeah, it's true. And I was taught one day, I remember we're not platform speakers much, you know, I'd rather be shot in the foot than to go preach somewhere. So I just don't do that. So this is rare for me, Nona. But I remember I was speaking in front of a big crowd of people, and our pastor was there, and we were kind of forefronting for them, Matt and I. And I remember the people just were not responding at all. And I was like, what the heck, you know? And I was like, the movie I See Dead People, that's kind of the way I felt. And afterwards, my pastor looked at me and he said, "Lori," he said, "never speak to the people." He said, "You always speak to the spirit of the person." And I have found that no matter where you go, no matter whether you're on the street and you come into contact with someone who does not like Christian television, who do not like Christians, I always remember, just speak to the spirit of that person. And everybody's created in God's image. Everybody has something inside of them that I believe, you know, there, when you're made in God's image, there is something inside of you that only God can tap into. And if you speak to that, I think you have a real connection with somebody. So I try to do that as much as possible.
And you do it so well. You really do. I'm going to find a really large conference and I'm going to say, I need to have Lori Crouch. Like, I really think that's who needs to headline this.
You'll find me in the bathroom throwing up.
I can't wait. Well, you know, for my last question, you know, we're living in such a, just a strange time where there's, you know, I look on social media and I see, you know, Christians fighting with each other, calling each other names and just all this stuff. I think one of the things that I've loved about you since I've met you is you're just so gracious, and you're consistently gracious. Like, you're not just gracious with your friends. You're not just gracious with, you know, famous people. You're gracious with people you don't even know that you just met. What would you say as kind of a call to action for Christians and believers? What would you say we need to keep in mind in order to exhibit Christ's graciousness to the world? And how do you do that? Because we need grace right now. We don't need arguing, but how do you do that?
We need love right now. We need to reach out with love. And I think of what I just said about seeing every person that we meet, that they are made in God's image. They are just as important to God as I am. They need God just as much as I need God. And grace is a level playing field. We all need grace. And I think if we just will take the importance off of me and what I want, and learn to give, you know, see each other the way God sees them. I think that's the biggest thing in the whole wide world, that nobody is better than the next. We're all helping. We're all joining hands. We all need each other. Our destinies are locked up inside of each other. And I think if we can just see people through God's eyes, and our need for grace and our need for Jesus, I think that would change the world if we'd all just see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ and stop the fuss. And, you know, I don't even agree with my husband all the time. We're all going to disagree. We're all going to, you know, have those irreconcilable differences. But if we can get past the need to be right, if we can get past the need to have it the way I want it, we're going to get further down the road. I don't understand Christians bashing other Christians. I don't get that. I don't see how people can even think that's helping anything. So, yeah, I just think just loving each other the way we want to be loved. And that's what Jesus tells us to do.
Amen. Well, Lori, I am grateful for your example.
I adore you.
You know I adore you.
I think you're amazing.
I think that there are so many people, and I'm speaking out of my heart. I think there are so many people who have not even a fraction of the success that you have achieved, who are egotistical and very full of pride, and just aren't good people to be around. And yet, you know, I look at you and I see the favor and grace of God all over you. And so I just wanted to say thank you for that. And I just pray God's continued blessing over you and your ministry. You have a preaching, teaching ministry. You may not want to accept it, but you do.
I love you. I need love friends you like back. You.
So thank you for joining us, Lori. And I just, on behalf of everyone watching, I just want to say thank you for being so transparent with us and sharing the word of God and sharing your story. You are such an inspiration. So thank you.
I love you. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.